entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama always said I'd be the chosen one.
Well, the FBI is finally caving, now allowing the entire House Oversight Committee to view that subpoenaed document in question. That document, of course, allegedly says then Vice President Joe Biden was involved in a $5 million criminal bribery scheme where he accepted money for policy decisions. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer is accepting the Bureau's offer and canceling the committee's plan to vote to hold the director, Christopher Wray, in contempt of Congress.
So there you go. They have now decided, because Christopher Wray finally decided to release the entire Form 1023 involving a possible bribery of Biden when he was vice president, releasing the entire document, that form, to the entire House Ways and Means Committee, which is what Congressman Comer wanted. And, of course, he had a chance to see it in person the other day in a skiff, a secure select area, along with Jamie Raskin, representing the Democrats from the committee. But he said this should be made public to all members of Congress. It is not classified information. That's a key point. I still don't know why they wanted to do it in a skiff, but they're making a claim, of course, that this is part of an ongoing investigation. Ongoing since 2020? No, I don't buy that. Do you? All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are, June 8, 2023. Of course, during the noon hour, we do a live stream Rumble. You can always go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA or News Talk STL. That'll take you to our live page. You can watch it then live or pull it up later as a Rumble podcast or at Larry Connors USA Facebook and LarryConnorsUSA.com. You can do the same thing. And, of course, we put up audio podcast of each program as well at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Larry Connors USA. That's all you need to remember. So, again, keep in mind that James Comer had said and made it very clear that if we do not get to see this document in full, that today, on this Thursday, June 8th, I will begin contempt proceedings against the FBI Director Christopher Wray. And when he was asked yesterday about would you continue to move forward with that, at that time, yes, Congressman Comer said, I'm going to. And I don't know that the former FBI director really wants to find himself behind bars, not the former, but the current FBI director, wants to find himself behind bars because of contempt of court, contempt of Congress. Let me clarify that, contempt of Congress. There is a contempt of court rule as well, but this is applying to Congress and what it's doing. But the House Oversight Committee was going to schedule today and had already been on the schedule to meet today on a resolution to hold the FBI director in contempt of Congress. But now Chair James Comer, Republican, Kentucky, announcing he's calling off the vote after the FBI offered to let all committee members review that 2020 document at the center of the standoff. In addition to letting the full panel review the document, the FBI had with a confidential informant. Now they're going to allow all members to see the entire document. Put that against the backdrop of where we were before we got to this date. And in fact, let's go back to Senator Grassley. He is carrying out on the Senate side an investigation into Biden monies and kickback schemes and corruption and anything else that might be wrapped into it. He, along with Senator Johnson, both Republicans in the Senate, but they're limited in what they could do because the House has to do most of this because they control the House. We, Republicans, conservatives, do not control the Senate, and they don't get to do a lot of what they might like to do. They can try to push the envelope, but they can't get very far. In the House, they can. But Senator Grassley had indicated the other day he has actually seen that document even before it was presented in the skiff to Congressman Comer and Raskin. He hasn't said exactly how he saw it, but I want you to listen to what he said the other day on the floor of the Senate regarding the FBI and its attitude, I mean attitude, about this Form 1023.
First, the FBI refused to even admit that this document existed, let alone admit that this document was marked unclassified. Then I told Director Ray last week that Chairman Comer and I've reviewed the 1023. I told Director Ray that this 1023 is marked unclassified. I told him that it was dated June 30th, 2020, and I and Chairman Comer demanded that he produce that document. Director Ray made one excuse after another to not produce it.
One excuse after another. And also Congressman Raskin of the Democrats, after he saw the document the other day, he came out and said, oh, that's the Trump administration investigated this and decided there's nothing to it. No. Former Attorney General Barr came out and said, basically, Raskin, you're lying. You're lying and you're a liar because we did not investigate this. Didn't have it. You know, they would have if they'd had it. Again, this is an informant, a paid informant to the FBI that has been vetted and used for over 10 years, all the way back to the Obama administration by the FBI. According to Comer, Congressman Comer, this document, the 1030, as reported by the source to them, about $5 million going to Joe Biden when he was vice president, is again a source that they've been using for 10 plus years, back into the Obama administration, paying him up to six-figure numbers over that period of time for information that obviously proved to be credible and they could vet. Now, that does not mean this time it is real. I want to caution you on that. It could be still a head fake, but we won't know until we really get a closer look at it, will we? Now, we're going to see. There's something else that suddenly popped up today. You could consider it a campaign political ploy, but it's also a very daring step forward to controlling you and your ability to have guns. They're going to couch it. They're going to couch it in a different way. They say, we're not going to destroy your Second Amendment, but California Governor Newsom has a new proposal on the table.
Governor Newsom proposing a 28th Amendment to the United States Constitution to end the country's gun violence crisis. Take a listen.
In this country, we do have the power to change things, to reclaim our freedom from fear. Our ability to make a more perfect union is literally written into the Constitution. It raises the minimum age.
Well, Newsom says the 28th Amendment would raise the minimum age, to purchase a gun from 18 to 21. It would also mandate universal background checks, he says would prevent truly dangerous people from purchasing a gun that can be used in a crime. Institutes reasonable waiting periods for all gun purchases as well, and bans people from buying assault rifles.
This will guarantee states as well the ability to enact common sense gun safety laws while leaving the Second Amendment intact and respecting America's gun-owning tradition.
Do not buy that argument. Do not buy that argument. It is another run around the Second Amendment. Let me remind you, when Hillary Benghazi Clinton was running for the White House and asked about the Second Amendment, she said, well, it's not really, you know, doesn't say everything everyone thinks it does. She's already been dismissing it. And now Governor Newsom says, let's pass a 28th Amendment that will do other things we want. So we won't touch the Second Amendment. We'll protect your tradition. One of the things you heard them say, we'll make sure that guns don't get in the hands of dangerous people. Well, I'm all for that. People that are going to go out and kill and shoot people, obviously. You do know there was a big knife attack across the ocean today, severely injuring three children and adults. I don't know what we're going to do about gun laws versus knife laws, much less in car laws and van laws and truck laws. But Governor Newsom thinks this might be the way to get him into the White House. Of course, he's got to look at Joe Biden, too, and Does he actually challenge Joe Biden? Now, if you're going to do a constitutional amendment, we're going to get into this in more detail in the second hour. That'll be on our Rumble, second hour. But let me remind you, just to get an amendment passed is going to be very difficult because it begins with you're going to have basically two-thirds of both the House of Representatives and the Senate propose and then vote on that constitutional amendment. If they make any changes to it, they just got to go back through the vote again. And once they do so, then, of course, it goes to the states, and three-fourths of the states, by constitutional law, must ratify that constitution either by their legislatures or through special ratifying conventions. So it's a long ways to go, isn't it? As I said, more time spent on that in the next hour that'll be on our Rumblecast. And coming up now, we know in the past how Russia was using Cuba or would plan to put missile bases in Cuba. China is now using Cuba for spy bases. Louisiana Senator Kennedy says we need to start communicating with China.
The United States and China should talk. The United States wants to, but the leadership of the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, does not. And frankly, the leadership of the CCP is acting like a sullen teenager. You can only be young once, Madam President, but you can always be immature. Talking does not show weakness. It shows strength. It shows confidence. America is confident. Why should we talk? To avoid military conflict. It's a pretty good start. To avoid miscalculation. The more silence there is between us, the more Beijing underestimates American strength.
And when they underestimate America's strength, and look at the man we have in the White House right now, I'm sure they are. And what we're doing to our military, pushing Pride Month across our branches, I'm sure they're underestimating our ability. And then, of course, Senator Kennedy also points out, you got to keep in mind that China is always pushing out fake claims of its own and basically doing everything it can to undermine us as I speak.
Hardly a day goes by that the CCP doesn't release a statement denigrating the American people and accusing the United States of wanting to suppress and even destroy China. Now, let me be clear, Madam President. The United States of America does not want to suppress China. The United States of America does not want to destroy China. All we want is for China to become and to act like a responsible member of a stable world order that follows international rules and norms.
Now, when he says those kinds of norms, they're not doing that. They're pushing this fakery all the time, underestimating us because we're not talking. And at the same time, they do continue to make various incursions. Again, Senator Kennedy.
All we want and all the world wants is for China to stop its aggression. All we want and all the world wants is for China to stop manipulating its currency. All we want and all the world wants is for China to leave Taiwan alone. All we want and all the world wants is for China to end its attempt to militarize the South China Sea and the East China Sea, which are international waters. All we want and all the world wants is for China to stop poisoning our children with fentanyl. Stop it.
Stop it. But that's not likely to happen. And in fact, they're being aided and abetted by the Biden administration because of the open border policy. All that fentanyl coming from China, going through Mexico or by whatever source. And then do not forget the mass numbers of Chinese men, military age, that are arriving and crossing through the border. No children, no families. Are they escaping the dictatorship in communist China? Are they coming here to carry out initial stages of an invasion? We don't know that either, do we? And then there's another play that China's carrying out. And keep in mind, their propaganda machine is extremely strong, just like our state-controlled media is here. And unfortunately, in that country, whatever they tell you, you better believe, because you're not going to hear anything else, period. And on top of that, if you dare disagree, you might pay for it with your life. But the Wall Street Journal has just put out a story pointing out that Cuba is going to get billions of dollars from China. Why would they get billions of dollars from China? Well, they're both communist countries, but there's another reason. They're going to use the island of Cuba to spy on the U.S., on Americans, on you. My next guest coming up is going to have more details on exactly what they might be planning to do, how they would carry it out, and why you need to worry. And believe me, you do. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. When you want windows for your home or your business, I suggest you get premium quality windows, Renewal by Anderson. Give them a call, 1-877-WINDOWS, 1-877-WINDOWS, or visit the website and see everything, rbastl.com, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson has the nation's best warranty. Give them a call, 1-877-WINDOWS. 877-WINDOWS.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter, do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, we're having trouble reaching our guest on this issue, but let's go back in history. You certainly remember the Cuban Missile Crisis, if you were alive at that time, or you've heard about it, read about it, when Russia, the Soviet Union at that time, was wanting to put missile bases on Cuba, 90 miles from our shore. JFK, President Kennedy, took a firm stance on that, put up a blockade, and made it clear that you're not going to continue doing that because we feared them being that close to us. Now, this is not missile bases, but it could still be damaging to our U.S. intelligence and to Americans in general as to what now China is moving forward with. Wall Street Journal broke the story, I think, late yesterday, and now seeing more details coming out. Cuba is giving China permission to build spying facilities on their island. That's according to a U.S. intel. They're going to be allowing them to do this for billions of dollars, the exact amount of money not clear. And we've apparently learned about it through our U.S. intel over the last several weeks. It's unclear if they've already started doing it. I would suspect they probably have. I would suspect myself, and this is simply speculation, that if our intel agencies are now telling us and making it public, it's been underway for quite some time. And now the word's leaked out through the Wall Street Journal and others jumping into it. But we need to give the Wall Street Journal credit for first breaking the story. Supposedly, we've already taken some steps to protect sites, sensitive sites, and censor intel signals. And, of course, we were told the same thing when the balloon went across our nation. Remember that one? Of course you do. And if you also know, it was not just drifting with the currents. It was being powered. It could back around. It could do circles. It could do figure eights over our most sensitive areas. And we were also told by our intel agencies at that time, oh, no, no, we blocked any signals going live from the balloon back to China. I don't believe that now any more than I did then. And now this revelation that China is going to put outposts in Cuba, this goes back to what Senator Kennedy, you were hearing, state earlier. China relations are at a new low. Remember, Blinken was going to go talking to them, going over to speak to them, and some were saying that's why Biden allowed that balloon to cross their country, because they didn't want anything to upset China. Well, you upset U.S. Americans by allowing that to happen. And you shot it down only after it crossed over our nation, when you had plenty of time before it ever reached the Alaskan territorial zone for U.S. as it entered the Alaskan waters. And we let it get this close. All right, we've got our guest, and of course, we now are going to be short on time from what I wanted to do with him. But joining us now will be Christopher Alexander, CCO with Liberty Blockchain, former Army Info Officer with the U.S. Army Intel and Security Command. Chris, thanks for joining us. Sorry we got to you late. How are you doing?
Great, great. How are you?
All right, let's jump right to the subject. The China listening post in Cuba. Why would that be a danger compared to anything else with spy satellites and or the balloon going over? What's the real concern here?
Well, you have different intelligence collection platforms with different abilities. And when you get closer to the area that you're collecting from, there's a lot of other things you can do. So it really will be a SIGINT listening post, signals intelligence. There's a lot of things that they're able to pick up with that you're not going to get from a satellite or a balloon. So it's a new capability. And it's all the more striking because, of course, China's key interest is usually in the Pacific. And they're now very, very prominently telling us that they want to start operating in the Atlantic as well.
Well, we've known that. And then, of course, they're operating in South America, as Russia had been doing. But when again, what are they going to pick up by listening posts based out of Cuba that they don't get otherwise? You're telling me it's basic details, but I need a better understanding.
Oh, sure. So specifically, there's a couple things. So they can track ships in ways that we might mask some satellites or keep out of view, number one. Two, they can scrape what's on radio airwaves that may be on, AM radio that are used on bases. There's just a whole umbrella of things that, you know, a satellite's moving very quickly. It passes over an area. Even a balloon's moving, it's fixed, and it's just sucking everything out of the bandwidth for communications out of basically the southeastern U.S., and they're able to capture it.
Now, that is exactly what I wanted to hear because with that positioning like that, when you say going into bases, cell phones, Americans in general, it's not just American military sites. They can have access to anything.
That is absolutely correct. And what you do in SIGINT, when you have collection capabilities like that, is you basically sort of start the tape running, if you will, and you record everything. And then you can look at everything from the frequencies and bursts that may happen to actually collecting and listening to what's being spoken. They're going to collect all sorts of information about our capabilities, even when they're encoded, because they're going to see what frequencies we operate on, how often we hop frequency. There's just, It's a serious, serious issue, and I think it's kind of a sign of a new Cold War. You know, the United States is no longer the only power in the world, and I think the Chinese are working very hard to show us that they're serious.
Before you joined us, we were listening to Senator Kennedy, saying that we need to be talking with China, but they won't really talk to us. Now, last month, we sent our CIA Director Burns to Beijing for talks, but I don't know that he came back with anything of substantial nature.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. A lot of times, as odd as this may sound to lay people, they're kind of courtesy calls.
I just dropped by for a fortune cookie. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, I'll tell you a funny story. When I worked with my counterintelligence colleagues, people who try to betray their country go to an embassy. They've got some secret information. They hand it over. The Russians, the Chinese would take it in the back, if you will, look at it. And if they didn't have that information, they'd walk in the room and say, okay, we'll buy it. And, of course, they always want to short you to draw you into more.
Right.
And then off you go, and they run you. If you had give them something that they already have, nobody likes a traitor. They would call the Army counterintelligence or FBI counterintelligence people and say, hey, you've got a traitor. He's walking out of our gate in 10 minutes. Pick him up. No joke. So you know, nobody likes a traitor. and certainly there is a strange collegial nature. The head of the KGB and the head of the CIA used to go to soccer games together in Italy when they were both the two station chiefs there. So it could have been something about, you know, hey, Marcus of Queensbury rules. You know, what are we doing here? Or it could have been something more substantive. But the fact is that the Chinese have been just out, you know, belligerent. You know, they humiliated Anthony Blinken and his team early on when they went to meet, I think it was up in Alaska, and they've constantly been belligerent. And you know, they're very clearly signaling to the world that they want to take us on in the way that the Soviet Union did. And we seem to just sort of pretend it's not happening with our foreign policy, which I think is problematic.
You're listening to Christopher Alexander. He's with CCO of the Liberty Blockchain and had previously served with U.S. Army Intel and Security Command. Now, you also just mentioned something I want to drill down on again. And even CNN and NNN, the state-controlled device in our nation, saying the Biden administration has done very little to improve relations with Cuba, and therefore they're basically making Cuba available to the Chinese. They didn't make that last statement. I did, but your thought in 30 seconds on that point.
Yeah, you know, it's really tough, right? I really supported the Trump administration's decision to levy sanctions. The Communist Party of Cuba were the only ones that were benefiting when the Obama administration tried to open things. But the flip side is, you know, when we try any sort of sanctions or economic isolation, you a place opens up for someone else to enter. So it really was, you know, you were kind of stuck in either way, unfortunately, and we'll see what the next few years hold for.
Well, if Cuba's going to get billions of dollars from China for this, obviously they're going to go full blast with it.
Yeah, with hindsight, you know, it looks like perhaps rapprochement would have been a better option so that we could have isolated the Chinese. But I don't know that the intelligence community was either listened to or had a clear picture of Chinese intentions, you know, in the Atlantic or in our hemisphere.
Well, as you point out at one point in a recent Fox News article, you talked, and I'm going to quote from you directly and just have a moment for your response. They're going to steal our industrial secrets wherever they can.
It's absolutely true that the number of counterintelligence cases opened up that are related to China is absolutely staggering. They steal anything we don't have nailed down, all the way down to our security clearance packets. If you remember that huge breach,
yep, I do,
10 years ago.
All right,
Chris, gotta take them seriously, and we don't.
I wish we'd got reached you earlier, but I'm glad to have you on board, Christopher Alexander. Coming up, Senator Manchin says Biden's moving more to the left. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. Allen, OutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I started out with $1 million, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. I'm gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The bottom line of all of this that we're talking about, you have to have energy independence to be energy secured, to be the national, to be the power, superpower of the world. And the United States has the resources. We've got to make sure that we get it out of the ground. We do it better and cleaner than anywhere in the world. So you have to have the horsepower of fossil done better than anywhere in the world. And you can also invest in the new clean technologies. Hydrogen is a good investment. SMRs are good investments. There's things that need to be done, but they're not going to overtake that. So right now, the administration has always been pushing further left than I could ever get and never made any sense to me why you would do something and take something off line before you put something online that could do the same job.
That is West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, calling out Biden and the White House and everyone around him going more and more left to appease the green pie-in-the-sky environmentalist. And if they live in the New York City area, some of them are choking right now. I shouldn't laugh about that because that's a very serious issue. I'll get more into that in a moment, but I'm going to put that point out now because all of this idea of the green energy is to make our air cleaner, the world better. And I'm going to raise the question now, and I'll raise it again later. Despite anything we've done or would do, how much damage to all those efforts would be caused by what we're experiencing now from the wildfire smokes from Canada? Now, again, I'll spend more time on that before we wrap up this hour. But Senator Manchin is pointing out we've got capabilities here in this nation that we can do things in a cleaner fashion anyway, but you do not move away from basic fossil fuel and what we've got that works until you've actually got something else that is sustainable and people will want and use, can afford, and it will, in fact, supplement what you need. I mean, the day that they first had the horseless buggy, the Model T, they didn't go out and shoot all the horses. But this is what the green environmentalists want to do. Well, we've got electric cars. We should shut all the electric cars down. And the state of California, of course, already has it in plans that no new cars will be sold after, what is it, 2030 or something like that. If they're gas, they will not be sold in that state. Tough luck for you if you live there and you need to buy a car and you can't afford an electric vehicle. And, of course, this also makes us more dependent on other countries. That's the key point. Whether or not you like Trump, he made us energy independent. During his administration, we were a net exporter of oil. We did bring some in just to maintain trade relations. We didn't have to, but we did. And he filled up our oil reserve to the top. Biden has drained it three different times I can think of off the top of my head, and every time it was done for votes right before the midterm election, another time, I mean, they're going to continue doing that. If we're not replanning and resupplying that, what do you think is going to happen in the end? Well, we've already seen that. Joe Biden goes to the Saudis, bowing down almost, saying, oh, forgive me for calling you a pariah. Can we have some more oil, please? And then we also deal with Venezuela, communist country. When we're trying to say we're going to shut down dollars going to Russia, who do you think then also benefits from us buying oil from Venezuela? The Russians and the communists in general. And, of course, we've had some countries in Europe, despite Ronald Reagan's advice to them, do not become reliant upon other countries, communist countries in particular, and in particular the Soviet Union or China or both, for your energy needs, because there'll be a day of reckoning when they simply turn the valve and say, that's it, you don't get any more. And what happens then? Because you shut down everything you had available. We've documented for you in the past what happened with Germany going into this last year. They began to fear their people were going to freeze to death because the Nord Stream pipeline was not going to be available. Then they had the explosion on the other. I mean, one thing after another. But they were trying to be all green. Shutting down oil supplies from Russia was one thing once the Ukraine war broke out and everything else. And suddenly they realized we might have a crisis. What did they do? They reopened coal mines that they had shuttered so they could get fossil fuels out and start doing something to keep their people alive during the winter. Thank God it wasn't as severe of a winter as it could have been. But the next time around, what happens then? To that point, Germany was basically replicating what we're seeing other European nations say, okay, we'll buy into all of this green pie in the sky. Canada's doing it. And, of course, Canada right now is a major polluter, not only for our nation, but themselves, and going to end up polluting the world with what's happening up there right now. But, again, I'll get into that in more detail a little bit later. But first, back to Senator Manchin saying, and ironically, he had a visit just a few weeks ago from some very interesting folks from Germany.
I had a group of the German soldiers came in, and I was wondering, I'm on armed services. They wanted to speak to me. So I said, how can I help you? They said, we're here to make you know, so that you're head of the Energy Committee, make you know, not do what we did. We took off coal. We took off nuclear before we had anything to replace it and become dependent on Russian oil and gas and got ourselves into this mess. Please don't do that. And I said, thank you. We're not going to.
Well, I hope you're right about not going to. But there's some stuff out there. The Army Corps of Engineers just took back a permit in Minnesota that would have allowed us to mine for nickel and various minerals that you're going to need for the electric batteries. So the Army Corps of Engineers had given the permit, then they just took it back. They can't just keep pulling permits out. If you want electric battery cars on the one hand, you got to have the resource to do it. Otherwise, Senator, as you know, all we're doing is bailing out China.
Yep, Larry, I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's why the bill that we did, the IRA, says that you're not going to be able to basically do the wind and solar and all the projects you want to do unless we're basically drilling and having permits and extracting. It takes a balance. You've got to have horsepower or fossil to run the country. You can have investments on the other, but you have to have the horsepower.
And you need the balance. You need the balance. I need to make sure you're aware of this. The Supreme Court today decided that the state of Alabama needs to redraw the state's congressional map, basically allowing an additional black majority district to account for the fact that the state is 27% black. This decision is considered, obviously, by everyone as a major legal decision of the Supreme Court. Supporters of voting rights had feared the court was going to make it harder for minorities to challenge maps under the Historic Voting Rights Act. Chief Justice John Roberts penned the opinion for a 5-4 majority, siding with the court's three liberals. Justice Brett Kavanaugh agreed with key parts of the holding, and he added the fifth vote. Roberts said, we are content to reject Alabama's invitation to change existing law. And that, of course, is a surprise, given that 10 years ago, Roberts himself gutted a separate section of the Voting Rights Act that would have required states with a history of discrimination to obtain federal approval before they change election laws. But in recent years, that's been challenged a few times on Section 2 of the Voter Rights. So what we have here is, again, the Supreme Court ordering Alabama redraw the state's congressional map to allow an additional black majority district to account for the fact that the state is 27% black. Among those dissenting, Justice Clarence Thomas. And he said, at the outset, I would resolve these cases in a way that would not require the federal judiciary to decide the correct racial apportionment of Alabama's congressional seats. He said he believed that the focus should be on ballot access and counting. So, of course, he was against it. But by 5-4 decision, The Supreme Court is telling the state of Alabama, you need to redraw your congressional districts. All right, back to the issue that we're dealing with, all of these fires up in Canada and what they're creating for the U.S. of A.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Any day now, any day, Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. You'll get lobster, crab, fish, Napoli C opening any day. But if you're in the mood for pasta, Napoli 3 is right next door. It's open for lunch and on Sundays. You can often find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and any day now at Napoli C. Napoli C opening any day now.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
First off, the forecasting is very, very hard to do. If you look at the forecast from earlier this week, they've been off by hundreds of points. So things are progressing in the right direction. Today, we're looking in the mid to high hundreds, low 200s across the city. As the mayor did say earlier, we are looking to see some wind coming from offshore that should move smoke back into the city sometime this afternoon. But then over the next few days, things will progressively continue to get better. Through Tuesday, when we have a front moving through, that should push everything out. But again, smoke modeling and pollution modeling is very, very hard to do.
And they're dealing with it in a very extensive way in the New York City area right now. That's one of the New York City officials talking about where they stand. Well, if you stand in the middle of New York or you look at any of the pictures, as some have commented already, it looks like you're in Mars. Everything looks orange between the sunlight that is coming through and into the smoke particles. These wildfires across Canada, Canadian provinces, including Ontario, Quebec, all leading to air quality alerts throughout several states, not just New York, several states of the Midwest, Mid-Atlantic, Northeast. Then you also do have some fires in Michigan and New Jersey that are contributing. The climate change and human health fellow at the Center for Climate Change and Health and Global Environment said that you have to be worried about the fine particulate matters known as PM2.5. PM2.5 means nothing to you, except keep this in mind. It's 30 times smaller in diameter than a human hair. And if you breathe that in, you're more likely to get it into your lungs and your heart and weaken your immune systems. But keep in mind, with all this happening, as they say, the size of that particle could penetrate deeply into the body and cause a lot of issues for you. If you imagine that we as a nation have gone total green, we have no gas vehicles, no gas stoves, no gas water heaters, we're doing our part to be nice and clean and everything. The rest of the world has not been doing it. China's been opening coal mines on a continuous basis. They're not doing anything to shut down what they're doing to pollute the air. But let's say everybody did. Then you get something like this. Everything you've done to work to achieve that is, may I dare say it, going up in smoke? It is. And also last year, 6 of the world's 10 most polluted cities were in India. The capital of New Delhi is regularly shrouded in smog. And I've had friends that have gone to China, and they say the same thing. You need breathing masks. And in fact, I saw earlier on one story that Amazon is suddenly getting a big rush upon, again, air filters, masks, things of that nature. It's understandable, and they do advise if you have any health condition, you should not be out in the midst of that condition in New York City, and certainly don't be running around in it because you're going to breathe in more at a faster rate. Do your exercising inside the gym, and then assuming that the smoke isn't getting inside the facility. You know how that is. A smoke breaks out, a fire, I should say, breaks out somewhere near your home, and you begin to smell smoke. All the windows are closed, but it's coming through your ventilation system. So you're never really going to scrub it all out, are you? Unless you make extra effort to do so. So there will be some health concerns coming from this. And, of course, we're going to have the global climate folks say, see how bad it could get? You need to know this. Pat Robertson, the religious broadcaster who turned a tiny Virginia station into a global Christian broadcasting network, has passed away. Passed away at the age of 93. Remember, Robertson did try a run for the president. He did make religion central in the Republican Party politics through his Christian coalition. He also had numerous enterprises, one being an evangelical Christian school in Virginia Beach, which also had the American Center for Law and Justice defending First Amendment rights. Pat Robertson, at age 93, passing away apparently at home. They say natural causes, all we're seeing at this point. But Pat Robertson being called home. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.